Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.
Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying.
Hello, my name's Josephine Pembroke.
And I'm Donna Freed.
Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Good morning, Radio Gorgeous.
Now, Donna, you have had the most busy time recently, and you've interviewed everybody that's on this week.
I know. You were off in Italy interviewing people.
Exactly.
However, yes, which will be coming up in the weeks to come. Mm. I've been slaving away in town. And first up, joining us on Gorgeous Gossip, we have Desdemona, a play about a handkerchief. And it is
that based on a Shakespeare play?
Yes, on Othello. It's sort of, Othello is the departure point. And in Othello, you know, it's all power play amongst Othello and Iago. And these are all the women. And Desdemona's fate is basically decided by a handkerchief, which is kind of ridiculous.
But then Shakespeare always has slightly superficial subjects.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, and, you know, I mean, nothing she said could change her fate. But, you know, two men and a handkerchief decided that she had to go. So this is sort of behind the scenes and the relationship between the women. Really exciting. I went up to Hoxton, to their rehearsal space and spoke with all three of the fabulous women. The play has started at the Park Theatre and it's there until June 8th.
Fantastic. And then who's author of the week? Pray tell.
Author of
Pray
the
tell.
Week. I fell in love. It's Elizabeth Russell Taylor. She's 85, but I swear she seems younger than most 35-year-olds I've met.
Because of her mind.
She's learning things. She's researching things. She's interested. She's interesting. She's busy. She's just one of those persons. She doesn't look down. She's like, all right, what's next? And the short stories, I was speaking to her about the book Belated. It's a really varied group of short stories. And it's really, really, really well observed things. Well, there's two about couples. Her relationship observations are really wonderful. There's one, you know, a couple that seems like a normal, you know, Essex. He works in the city. She's the homemaker. And then they change that relationship. Clearly, his wife was more suited to being a mistress than a wife. So that was really fun. Yeah. And another one where, you know, it's like, oh, we have fish on Tuesdays, you know, we go, you know, those habits that are formed.
Yes.
And then the fish and chip shop closes, you know, so then what do you do on a Tuesday?
So it's like small events making changes in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she, one of the things that comes up is the death of her husband, you know, it sort of informs some of the stories. And we talked a bit about that. She was married to the painter Tom Fares. And when he died, she, you know, it was just harrowing and how she wanted to die and what that led to.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah. And then you have been stretching a girl and you've joined this thing that we're going to talk about. You've committed to it.
I have. Ballet for Life.
Wow.
So I overheard, as I was leaving yoga one day in Chiswick, as you do, I overheard someone talking about Ballet for Life. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. And so over 50s, there were some classes. And so I looked into it and I met my twin, Donna Schoenherr, who started.
Why is she your twin?
Because her name is Donna. Mm. She's from New York. We have the same knee injury. She has one son, lives in Chiswick. I was just like, oh my God, she's my twin. But no, she's really cool. She's an ex-ballet dancer, you know, professional ballet dancer. And she did have an injury that ended her career. And she teaches and has other teachers with this Ballet for Life class that, you know, you're never too old to dance and never too old to, you know, work the core, work your posture and plié and jeté.
Okay, but I just have to laugh. I mean, come on. I mean, you take it all in your stride, Donna, but we are slightly elephant-like and we're not the most elegant people. Does it work for you? Really?
It works as long as I don't look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Feels so much better than it looks.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it is really good exercise and it's fun. And there's the teacher is really good and she's very serious. But the funniest thing is, oh my God, the older women in the class, we are so unruly. Never shut up, always laughing. And it's not even just me.
God,
There's all of the older women in class. Great.
Sounds like my sort of thing.
It is.
So it's a bit of a laugh.
It is a bit of a laugh. And the younger women are there for, you know,
toning and looking perfect. Yes, the yummy mummies.
Exactly. Even younger than that, you know, girls in their
20s. God, so yes, it's a real mixture.
Harboring dreams of death.
Didn't you say again there's like an 85-year-old there?
Yes, in her over 50s. She's got two over 50s classes, I think. And yes, there's an 85. I think her oldest student is 86.
Might join that one. Because I'll be a spring chicken.
Yeah, she might show you up. I don't know how much dance experience you have, my darling.
Well, let's have a listen to Desdemona.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Hello, I'm Ursula Early. I am the artistic director of Big Bear Theatre, and I'm also producing Desdemona, a play about a handkerchief, and I'm also playing Bianca in Desdemona.
Excellent. I'm Alice Bailey-Johnson, and I am playing Desdemona in Desdemona.
And I'm Ingrid Lacey, and I'm playing Amelia, who's the maid of Desdemona.
And confidant.
Confidant. And a little bit more in this as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so let's please describe the play. We have a little bit, you know, it more than vaguely follows the story of Othello, but told from Desdemona's point of view, is that correct?
Well, told from the, yes, I mean, it loosely follows a sort of arc of Othello, and I suppose you could almost imagine it happening behind the scenes, but it's told from the perspective of the three women.
And who wrote this play, and how did this play come about?
Well, Paula Vogel wrote it, who's actually an American playwright. She's a fairly big cheese, you know, she's a Pulitzer Prize winner for a play called How I Learned to Drive. And it's interesting because certainly some of her plays are done. How I Learned to Drive had a production at the Donmar, but for whatever reason, there's a Mariner play about handkerchief hasn't been done really here. Actually, James and I did a very small version of it about 7 years ago, so we're sort of revisiting it and doing it on a much grander scale. And I think it's a play that's done quite a lot in America, but it's not, you know, it's interesting and it's exciting because it hasn't had a sort of major staging here.
Fantastic. And tell me about, I'm speaking to Desdemona now. Had you played Desdemona before? Is that a part that you knew?
I knew the part, obviously, very well. I'd never played it before. And I suppose I sort of, you know, if we're talking casting, I don't think in a traditional sense I'd really ever be cast as Desdemona. She tends to be portrayed, you know, a lot of the time she's very blonde and ethereal. And,
that's what I was going to say. Well, because it's to contrast Othello.
Yeah,
she's Moorish and dark.
You know, sort of naive thing. And obviously in this version she's not the same. You know, she's not as
she's outrageous.
Innocent as she's perceived in Othello.
She's a fuller character.
Much fuller, yeah. I think, well, this is controversial, but I think the women are a bit underwritten in Othello. Mm-hmm. And they are just played, you know, she's this naive, sort of innocent, and she has no hand in her fate. And whereas in this, she's not innocent.
Desdemona gets bad. I like it. And tell me about your character.
So I'm playing Amelia, who features in Othello and is the wife of Iago, who's the villain. And so, as in the play, I steal the handkerchief for my husband. Mm-hmm. So Amelia's a very bitter, funny, tender woman, but ultimately very disappointed, as she might be if you were married to Iago.
And ground down.
And so it's about her. All the play is about the three relationships between the women and their relationships with men and how they seek to be free of the restrictions that tie them. And it's essentially a black comedy, I'd say, in the genre. So it's not a tragedy like in tone, like Othello, but more of a black comedy.
Radio Gorgeous, created by women for women. RadioGorgeous.com.
And could you tell me a little bit about your production company?
Yes, yeah, so I've come up through as an actress, and was very much not just an actress, but I was that's what I was doing for about 7 years after drama school. I love acting. It's one of the best jobs in the world, you know, when you can do it and when you can when you've got jobs. but it's, you know, there's so many factors that go into whether or not you can get a job, whether or not, you know, whether you look right, whether you, whatever it is, there's billions of factors that are completely out of your control. You know, you can go in and do the best job you can in the audition, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And I suppose it's, I got to the point where I was like, you know what, I want to be making the work and in the work that I want to be doing.
A little bit more control.
I hate it's a bit of a horrible word, but yeah. And so there is something really exciting as a producer. You know, it's hard work, but you can have the seed of an idea, and you know, by hook or by crook, you can actually make it happen. Which is, you know, so I decided to start it. I suppose there's two main thrusts to what we do. It's definitely got the classics at its heart. I'd done quite a lot of classical work as an actress, so it's something that I knew and loved and was familiar with. And so it's sort of putting fresh, exciting adaptations on of classic theatre, but also finding plays like this play, which are contemporary but are influenced by classic theatre. And then the other main strand, again, coming off the back of being an actress and feeling those, that bit of inequality going on, you know, trying to find plays as strong female roles for women.
Which are, I hear, difficult to find.
Yes. Part of the new year.
Yeah, exactly. Which brings me to you, because you have had a lot of experience acting.
Yes.
And have you found, as, you know, through your experience, that roles, you know, interesting roles, good roles for women get harder to find?
Well, do you know, I'm going to be, I get really, people get very cross about this, but I think it's a bit of a myth. I think there are lots of very good parts for older women. And I think what happens is that there are lots of really talented actresses. And once you've done 20 years or more, you're not going to settle for playing small parts. So what you've got is a lot of really talented actresses chasing the best roles.
Right.
And then you've got a lot of very disappointed actresses.
Verging on bitter.
Yeah, I think there are fewer roles for older women, but there are some really cracking parts out there. And an actress is breaking through all the time. So, you know, boundaries are being broken all the time. They're earning lots of big money. They're leading films. They're bringing... So it's changing a lot. And I think it's important, I think, to say that. And to say that the situation is changing and moving on, which it is. And the reality is now, so many actors now, so many people, because of, you know, for all sorts of reasons, but so many people go into acting now in a way that was not at all like that when I started out. I mean, people thought you were mad to be doing it. And and it was very limited, you know, that because Equity, the union, I didn't approve of this, but Equity controlled entry. So it was much tougher to get going.
It was like visas. There was a limited amount.
Absolutely, there were about 250 visas a year. You had to get one of those jobs that carried the passport to your career. Now that wasn't right, but what it did do is limit entry, and now.
But it kept everyone working, so they could prove
exactly.
Why
and
they
the,
were
and the,
charging.
And when you were
fees.
Young, you worked. You worked all the time. Mm-hmm. And now what's happening, I think, so people talk a lot about the older women thing, but the truth is there are about four times as many young girls under 25. I think that the figure now is there are 7,000 girls under 25 wanting to be actresses. Well, in my age group, there's only about 1,700.
Yeah, so you've weeded them out.
Yeah, exactly. So
they've retired, they've stopped, they've moved to Tenerife. Yeah. And you get to still work.
Exactly. So, you know...
If you want to work, there's the work out there.
Or like people like Ursula who go out and create it. And, you know, I think it's got a bit of a... The record's got a bit stuck on this older woman thing. And it becomes negative as well.
Yes.
And it puts women in the ghetto, you know, and it's sort of... It's all a bit victim-y and... Well, I think we should move on.
Thank you. Thank you for moving it on. Hear, hear, right? And that is so Radio Gorgeous, because we're like, we're not moany.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, just get out there and work. The work's out there, get out there and work.
Shut
up and do.
Exactly, and if you don't think that there are good parts out there, then write something, make something happen.
Oh, the manifesto's out there, ladies.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and here we're speaking to someone who's somewhat younger. And tell me about your experiences acting.
Well, I went to Lambda. Graduated 2011. It was great. I loved it. I suppose I've been fairly lucky compared to a lot of my friends, people in my year. I've worked fairly regularly. Obviously, I've had lots of months of unemployment.
Furlough periods.
Yes, but in general, I've you know, touch wood, I've been very lucky. And so there is a massive competition out there, I think. And like what Ingrid was just saying, you know, go out and write something. That's what I get told a lot is, well, if you want the good female parts, start writing plays with females in it.
Have you started?
No, but I will. I really want to, but it's that thing of having a good idea. Like, I've not thought of anything exciting yet to write about. But I fully intend to. But I think that's the way to go. Because I did, you know, the two previous jobs I've had, it was all male. I was the only girl in the cast. And, you know, I think that sort of seven boys, one girl in a play, so, you know. There could easily have been other female characters in this. Where are they?
All right, so tell me, when's the show going up?
The show opens.
And where?
The show...
Getting nervous.
Yes, it opens on Wednesday, May the 14th at the Park Theatre, which is the very lovely, rather exciting new venue in Finsbury Park, and runs till June the 8th. So it's on for a 4-week run.
Fantastic. You guys have been so wonderful. Good luck.
Thank you.
Excellent. And just to give a plug, what's up next week? Because a former guest on the show, Jo Rees, who's an author, a novelist, and she's just the most sparkling, delightful, sprightly woman you've ever seen.
Also, she loves Radio Gorgeous.
And she loves Radio Gorgeous. Exactly. And Radio Gorgeous loves her.
Yeah.
And she's down in Brighton. And, well, her husband and Julia Crouch are putting on Dark and Stormy. So it's a crime writers festival down in Brighton next weekend, May 23rd through 25th. So it's May bank holiday weekend. Go to Brighton. It's going to be sunny. Yeah. It's going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
And Joe, since I can't go, Joe, you get to hear more of Joe. I told you we'd bring her back. Joe is going to interview some women down there and cover the festival for us.
Woo!
Yeah. So if you miss it, please do go down. But if you miss it, Joe will be bubbly, bringing us all the good news from there.
Well, Donna, thank you so much for working so hard on Radio Gorgeous this week. And thank you to all our guests.
It's been a pleasure.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2014. For more information, go to info@radiogorgeous.com. Nice to have you with us. Mwah.
Since you left me, you're always laughing way down at me. But watch out now, I'm gonna get there. We'll be together for just a little while, and then I'm gonna put you way down here, and you'll start crying. And when the sun comes up, I'll be on top. You'll be right down here, looking up. And on my way, come up here, but I don't see you waving down. I'm way down here, wondering how I'm gonna get you, but I know now, I'll just cry, cry. I'll just cry. Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying. Too many teardrops for one heart to carry on. You're gonna cry.